If you'd like to follow along with me, I'll be reading from the first chapter of James. I'll be reading verses 19 through 26. The first chapter of James, verses 19 through 26. Know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness which God requires. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this man's religion is worthless.
Well, good evening, everyone. It's good to see you. Good to be here tonight. You might want to open your Bible to the book of James, if you haven't already. Open to chapter 3. We'll start reading some scripture in that chapter when we get to that point in the lesson. But I want to begin this evening by suggesting that some of us may, and some of us may not, be aware that there is an international holiday coming up this week. Every year, all around the world, on September 19th, people celebrate Talk Like a Pirate Day. I am not making this up. It is a day when some people won't say hello when they answer the phone. They'll say something like, "Ahoy, me hearty." It's a day when a person who answers the phone might hear himself referred to as a scurvy sea dog. For lots of people, it's a day devoted to talking like a pirate just because it's funny, just because they can. And since that day is just around the corner, I thought it might be fitting for us this evening to think about some of the advice that James gives us about taming the tongue. James chapter 3, starting in verse 4. James 3, verse 4. Look at the ships also. Though they are so great and are driven by strong winds, are still directed by a very small rudder wherever the inclination of the pilot desires. So also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. See how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body, and sets on fire the course of our life, and is set on fire by hell. For every species of beasts and birds, of reptiles and creatures of the sea, is tamed and has been tamed by the human race, but no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth, both blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way. Talk like a pirate? Well, maybe one day a year, just for fun. But everyone who's here this evening knows that the challenge that we face every day is to talk like a Christian. What does it mean to talk like a Christian? James suggests in these verses that faithful Christian speech requires more than the proper kind of vocabulary. Talking like a pirate is easy. You just have to say "arr" every now and then, and you're pretty much there. But talking like a Christian requires perspective, and it requires awareness. So this evening, what I'd like for us to consider are three things that I think we see in those verses that we read that would be helpful to us in our efforts to talk like Christians. First thing I'd like for us to consider with regard to this is that to talk like a Christian, we need to have an awareness of the power of words. James intimates this in James 1 and verse 19 that was read for us by Steve. This you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone should be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Why should someone be slow to speak? Well, the reason is because words that are carelessly spoken can cause great damage. And the verses that we read in James 3, there are actually three different illustrations used to sort of support this idea in verse 3. Now, if we put bits into the horses' mouths so they will obey us, we direct their entire body as well. Here's a small thing, a bit, and it can direct, it can cause a large horse to change direction at our command. Verse 4, look at the ships also, though they're so great and they're driven by strong winds, they're still directed by a very small rudder, wherever the inclination of the pilot desires. And in the last part of verse 5, see how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. So all three of these examples illustrate the tremendous power of the tongue, the power of words. And then that last example, the forest that is set aflame by a small fire, there's kind of a little additional information in verse 6 about that. The tongue is a fire, we're told there, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life and is set on fire by hell. Seems pretty clear that that is intended as a warning. A warning that words can be very destructive. And I suppose we know that. I suppose there's no one here who doesn't know that. I found a story about a man who lived in a highland village in Scotland. This man passed along a pretty disparaging story about another man that he didn't care for very much. At the time, he thought that that story was true. And when that story was passed around the village, it utterly destroyed this man. His family, his job, his integrity, everything was ruined. He finally had to leave his home in shame because of something that was not true. Well, when more time passed, the fellow who had passed that story along discovered that the rumor was false. It had not been true. And he realized that he had helped to destroy an innocent man with his words. Well, he was also a religious man, and so he went to his minister and he said, "I have destroyed a man with my words. Please, I am sorry. Can I be forgiven this sin?" And the minister said, "It's not really that simple." And he told him to take a bag of feathers and go out into the village and put one feather in the front yard of every house in the village. The man thought this was a strange request from a minister, but he desperately wanted to be forgiven, so he did as he was bid. He finally came back. He spread all the feathers out. He said, "Now, I've done all that you asked. Can I now be forgiven?" And the minister said, "No, not yet. Now you must retrace your steps and bring back to me every feather that you put in the village." And the man was devastated. "But I can't do that. I could never do that. The wind has carried all the feathers away." "Yes," the minister replied, "and your careless words in like manner have destroyed an innocent man. Those words can never be gathered back. The damage cannot be undone." Now, I think that you and I do understand that a man can be forgiven, even of a sin where the damage cannot be undone. And maybe some of us have some experience with this. I suspect that it is possible, maybe even probable, that many of us here have said some things at some time or other in our life that we regret having said, even to this day. Perhaps some of us even remember things that we have said in the past that resulted in negative consequences that linger even to this day. If so, then we certainly understand the destructive power of words. And maybe it makes it even more plain to us the notion that we should be slow to speak. We should be careful how we speak. To talk like a Christian is to have an awareness of the destructive potential of our words. So we are quick to hear, slow to speak. Second thing that we might want to consider is that to talk like a Christian, we need to speak to other people and about other people with a full awareness that these are people who are created in God's image. James makes a point to point this out. And so we should probably consider it as an important point. Besides, Jesus himself says this in Matthew chapter 5, in verses 21 and 22. In Matthew chapter 5, he says, "You have heard that the ancients were told, 'You shall not commit murder.' And whoever commits murder shall be liable to the court. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court. And whoever says to his brother, 'You good for nothing,' shall be guilty before the Supreme Court. And whoever says, 'You fool,' shall be guilty enough to go into the fiery hell." Yes, to talk like a Christian, we should certainly use our tongues, use our words to exalt and honor our Lord and Father. But we should not use our tongues to speak in a derogatory way of those who are made in the likeness of God. Now, don't get me wrong. Sin is sin. And we must always be willing to see sin for what it is and to speak of sin as what it is. But in our world today, it seems that some people, including some who call themselves Christians, it seems that some are finding more and more and more insulting ways to speak of people with whom they disagree. Sometimes we don't merely point out that a word or a position or an action is contrary to God's teaching. We speak of the people themselves as worthless or as incapable of any good thing. In many instances, it seems that nowadays people use words less and less as descriptors and more as bludgeons. Now, of course, the world uses words as weapons. We know that. And they're going to continue to do that, but that's not the way that Christians should speak. We recognize that people are made in the image of God, and that should make us pause before we apply insults or derogatory language to them. It is not appropriate for us to gather here on the Lord's Day and to offer praise, enthusiastic praise, to our God, and then speak ill of someone on Monday. Someone made in the image of God. And the third point that I want us to think about is that to talk like a Christian, we need to speak the things of God to other people. We did that today already, this morning when we gathered together, and we're doing it again now. Every Lord's Day we gather and we speak of the things of God to one another. But in keeping with what James says concerning how people are made in the image and likeness of God, we also need to speak the things of God to those who do not know God. We need to cultivate the ability to see every person as someone who is not irredeemable, but as a man or a woman who is created in the image and likeness of God and as a person for whom Jesus died. And I say this in full awareness that can be pretty difficult in some cases. That can be pretty hard for us. There are some people who, because of the way that they speak or the way that they act, they're utterly repulsive to us. And we think about them and we can't even imagine how such a person could be led to the Lord. And we might be right about that. But even if we are right about that, the Lord does not give us the office of pronouncing judgment on them. That is His prerogative. Furthermore, what if we are wrong about that? What if we're not seeing this quite right? What if in some way that we cannot see, and let's face it, there are some things that we cannot see, they might be brought to an understanding of the truth. In fact, what if the very thing that they need is for us to be open to that possibility in them, that they could change their life? And if our refusal to see them in that way makes it more difficult for them. Now, I'm not saying that we would be responsible for their fall. Each one is responsible for his or her own sins. But we would not have done what the Lord would have us to do. We would not have done what the Lord would have done. We should try to reach out to them. Consider Acts chapter 9, if you would. Acts chapter 9, starting in verse 10. Acts chapter 9, verses 10 through 16, I want to read. Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And the Lord said to him in a vision, "Ananias?" And he said, "Here I am, Lord." And the Lord said to him, "Get up and go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. And he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight." But Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he did to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and sons of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake." Ananias knew about Saul of Tarsus. He knew about Saul. Saul was a man who heartily agreed with the stoning of Stephen. This was a man who ravaged the church, putting men and women in prison because they were disciples of Jesus. Ananias doesn't really want to go and speak with Saul. None of us would have wanted to go and speak with Saul either, I'm convinced. It is difficult, of course, it is difficult to see the image of God in a person who has committed horrendous crimes. To see them as someone made in the image and likeness of God. The prospect of going to speak with Saul has Ananias trying to explain to God things about Saul, as though God doesn't know everything there is to know about Saul. And in this instance, Saul had already quite literally seen the light. Look at verse 3. And he needed someone to talk to him. He needed someone to speak with him. Everyone needs someone to speak to them about the Lord Jesus, because everyone is made in the image of God. And Jesus died for everyone. This point is particularly important to me because I did not grow up as a churchgoer. I did not. I believed in God. I had heard the story of Jesus, but I had been told by many well-meaning people that as long as I tried to be a good person, as long as I tried to do what was right, I would go to heaven. But there were many things about which I was misinformed. There were many things that I needed to learn. And someone invited me to go to church services. And I said yes. I don't know this for sure. I really don't. But it is possible that this person who invited me to services might have been the only person to whom I would have said yes. It's entirely possible. And this led to me becoming a Christian. If we're going to talk like Christians, we must see every person as someone for whom Jesus died. Every person as someone who needs to hear about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we need to share the Lord with everyone who will listen to us. We may say all kinds of kind and generous and encouraging things in our lives. I'm sure that we do that. We may be very careful all of our lives to ensure that what we say is correct, and maybe even try very hard to make sure it's polite, and we should do that. But if we're not sharing the gospel with those who need to hear it, we're not wholly talking like Christians, because that is something that Christians do. They talk to other people about the Lord Jesus. And that being the case, and because there is a possibility that someone here tonight might need to hear about the Lord, let me just share a few more words. In order to be a Christian, it is not enough to just be a good person. It is not enough to just attend church services somewhere. The way to be a Christian is clearly described in the Scriptures, and we know that it is in more than one place. One of the best places this is found is in Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, the events in this chapter take place after the Lord Jesus has risen from the dead, after he has ascended into heaven. On the day of Pentecost, when there were Jews who had come to Jerusalem from many different areas, Jesus' apostles received the gift of the Holy Spirit. All of those who had gathered and who saw this, they were astounded by what they were seeing. And one of the apostles, Peter, kind of takes advantage of this situation and preaches to the multitude. The climax of his lesson is found in verse 36. In verse 36, where Peter says, "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified." And when the crowd heard those words, many of them were affected by those words, the words that he had spoken. They saw the power in his words, and they said, "What shall we do? Brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter answers that question in verse 38-39, where he says, "Repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children, for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call to himself." In the day in which you and I live, the Lord is still calling people to himself. He's calling them exactly the same way. And people need to know that. People need to know that he's doing that. We need to share that with them. The Lord calls us through his powerful word. And those who believe in him and those who believe in that word can become Christians by doing exactly what Peter told those folks to do in Acts 2 in verses 38 and 39. And so this night, if there's someone who needs to become a Christian by expressing their faith, by repenting of their sins, by believing in him, and by being baptized to have the forgiveness of sins, then let us help you do that this very evening. Don't leave this building till we've been able to assist you in doing that. And if there are those here tonight who need some other need met, some other spiritual need, and there's some way we can do that, if we can pray for someone, if we can help in some other way, maybe a Bible study, if there's something else that we can do, then we invite you to respond to the invitation for that reason. If we can help you, if we can share some of the words of Jesus with you that will be of help to you, we would like to do that. Give us that opportunity if we can be of assistance to anyone tonight while we stand and while we sing.